Amen. Thank you, Brother Paul, for that. How true. I was thinking, you know, when I got saved, I don't know a whole lot now, I don't think, but when I got saved, I didn't know anything. I just knew didn't want to go to hell, and God showed me what He'd do, and I accepted Christ. But over the years, and the more I've got to know Him, He sure gets sweeter day by day. So I hope you'll just stick in there with Him. He'll never leave you. Now, I don't know if you'll leave Him, but He'll never leave you. So you hang with Him and just get closer and closer each day. All right, we're going to do our study tonight in the book of Proverbs, beginning in Proverbs 26 this evening. And we're going to begin that out this evening, looking over in Philippians chapter 3. So Proverbs 26, but let's start out in Philippians chapter 3 this evening. Proverbs chapter 26 and Philippians chapter 3 this evening. If you found your place, if you can and you would, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. I do encourage you to follow along with us this evening. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17, we'll read this one verse and pray, and let you be seated. The Bible says this in verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3, it says, "Brethren," that's us, "be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Again it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Let's pray. Father, we sure are thankful, God, for men and women that have trailed a path in front of us, God, that have walked in such a way that we've been able to mark them, God, and Lord, they drew us closer to you, not drove us further away. And Lord, I know we're all prone to mess up. Lord, I know, God, that we sure don't want to put our eyes too much on man, but God, I'm glad of some men, some women that sure love you, and through their love, they've helped us along the way. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us, God, tonight to set our eyes on some good people, Lord, that are following you so we can follow them. And God, just draw us closer to you, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for what we learned here tonight. And again, just help us, Lord, again, just to continue to walk and to teach and to raise high the banner in these days, Lord. And we'll thank you for all you've done, Lord, for us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I read that verse this evening there in Philippians on that note of marking a man. And the Bible talks about marking a man in different areas. And as I thought, as I prayed, my mind this afternoon as I was studying back through my notes have gone back of some people that God has allowed to cross my paths and to be able to serve together in this thing, in the ministry. And I thank God for them. But then there are some others that I've been very disappointed in. And again, I don't want to be that. And the reason I'll say that this evening on marking a man tonight, as I mentioned this morning, here in Proverbs chapter 26, God gives us in this one chapter, God gives us six different characteristics of man that are not good. And, you know, there's just nothing good in man anyway. I am what I am by the grace of God. And you know, there's a lot in me that ain't what it needs to be by no means, but God's still working on us. So we just try to every day draw closer to Him. But in this one chapter of chapter 26, we're just going to look at one of them tonight. Verses 1 through 12, we're going to find God speaking of him. He spoke of him before, but really tonight he draws in on what the Bible says about a fool. And we'll see more about that. Verses 1 through 12 shows us a fool. Verses 13 through 16, we see another man that we have seen so many times throughout our studies in the book of Proverbs, and that's a slothful man. And, boy, we have a lot of those in our day. And you don't need to be slothful. We spend way too much time laying around and just not being busy as God would have us to be. So we see a slothful man. And then verse 17, we'll find the meddler, and we've got some of them around. In verses 18 and 19, we got the guy called the prankster. And, you know, people just take fun at doing things to other people. And then verses 20 through 23, we find the talebearer. And then verses 24 through 28, we find the hateful. So six different characteristics of man here that we have that God shows us. And again, we don't want to be those. And don't mark those to be able to follow them. And God says to mark them, but not in a following way. Let me show you some more about this thought of marking. Look in Psalms chapter 37. Hold your place here in Proverbs 26. But I want to show you about this, how we should mark a man. Look over in Psalms chapter 37. Psalms 37 this evening. Look in verse number 37. The psalmist says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That's the kind of man I want to be to somebody else. I want God to allow me to be able to walk in such a way that I'm drawing people closer to Him. And I'm thankful again as God has put some of those men and women in my life that I've been able to mark as somebody that shows forth some good godly character, and they draw me closer to the Lord. And again, don't put a whole lot in man. Man will upset you. Man will disappoint you. And probably one of the worst ways I've ever been disappointed. Boy, I really thought highly of preachers until I became one. Started hanging around preachers. It didn't take long that I thought, I can't believe they said that, or I can't believe they did that. But yeah, there are some good godly men around. There's still some good godly women around. And listen, let's try to be that. We got some young people that are watching. I want to be that in front of them. You know, that people don't realize the damage when somebody falls, when somebody allows sin to come into their lives and just, you know, tear things down. It's more than just what you've got. People are watching you. People are listening to you. And again, you might be the only gospel they ever really see. And that's the reason it's so important to maintain a good, godly testimony at the workplace, at the schoolhouse. And once you let that thing drop, I don't know if you can ever really truly get it back to where it ought to be. But again, nobody's perfect. But God does encourage us to mark that man that walks in that uprightness way. And again, that's what I'd like to be. And even Paul said it like this, follow me as I follow Christ. When a man's following after Christ, I'm going to follow in after him. But when that man doesn't follow after Christ, I'm going to walk away from him, I hope. So just be careful. Don't go down the wrong paths. Don't lead somebody else down those paths. But again, mark those that are godly around you. But then God also tells us to mark somebody else. Look over in Romans chapter 16 this evening. Romans chapter 16 this evening. Look at verse number 17. God tells us another group to mark. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. As much as I want to mark people that are following after the ways of God, God tells me that I need to mark those that are causing problems. You know, there's those that come into the church house. That's all their desire is, to stir up trouble. And if they'll gossip in your ear, they'll gossip about you to somebody else. We've said that before. And if they're trying to tear down somebody, they'll try to tear down you some other time. And God says, you better mark those kind of people. You need to avoid that. Don't get hung up in that. Before you know it, you'll be hooked up with it. You'll be walking with them, and they'll drag you down the road you don't need to go. Again, mark those that are walking with God, but God says also to mark those that are causing problems. So we need to understand that we need to mark some people. And God here tells us here, back in Proverbs chapter 26, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 quickly this evening on this person called the fool. Now, again, we've made this statement before, but I don't know that I've ever really showed you the scripture. Hold your place there in Proverbs 26. Let's go one more place and then we'll be back. Look over in Psalms chapter 14. We're going to look here in verses 1 through 12 about what God says about this person that is a fool. Proverbs or Psalms chapter 14 this evening. What is a fool? Well, you could look up Webster, but if you get the right Webster, you get a old Webster, it might say this. I didn't take time to go look. But what does God say a fool is? Well, here's what he says in Psalms chapter 14. He says it again in Psalms chapter 53. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, the fool, that's who we're talking about, hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's the fool. And why in the world would we want to be a fool? I hope that's not you tonight. I hope that's not your intent. But God says we need to avoid those that are fools. And we'll see that over and over tonight in these 12 verses about a fool. So let's see what God says about this person that says there's no God. And notice also, it's not just with his mouth. He says it with what? Out of his heart, the mouth speaking. It's a heart issue. In his heart, he truly believes there is no God. So let's see what God says about this fool. Verses 1 through 12, let me just real quickly just run through and point out how we can show this. Verse 1, we see the latter part, it says, a fool. Verse 2 is the only verse in these first 12 verses that doesn't have the word fool in it. But even though that verse doesn't have the word fool in it, I'll hope to show you that it really is a fool. So verse 3 we find there, it says the fool. Verse 4 through 6, every verse there has a fool. Verse 7 says of fools. Verse 8 says a fool. Verse 9 says of fools. Verse 10, the fool. Verse 11, a fool. And verse 12, a fool. So these 12 verses, God is showing us about this person of a fool. Verse number 1 says, as snow in the summer, or as snow in summer. That's not right, is it? Summer doesn't have snow. Summer is hot. But God says, as snow in summer, and he's going to relate it to the fool. And then he goes, as rain in harvest, as odd as it would be to have snow in the summer, it's dangerous or it's disastrous if we have rain during harvest time. Why? Because the farmers won't be able to get their crops out. They won't be able to harvest the things that God has given them to eat. So again, God uses these two things, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest. So honor is not seemly for a fool. So, you know, it amazes me how our world honors fools. Look how this world makes much of people that deny God. Our world tries to lift those people. Have you ever, I don't know, maybe it's not this way where you work, but a lot of places I've ever worked, public work, have you ever noticed it seems like the people that do the least and the ones that get in trouble is the one they promote? If you're working hard doing your job, they're going to overlook you because you need to keep doing your job. But the guy that's not doing his job and the guy that's causing all the problems, they'll move him up the chain to get him out of the way. You ever notice that? Isn't that foolishly though? But that's how man looks at things. Man will promote, man will lift up a fool. Look at how, and listen, young people, I hope you'll hear me tonight. We mentioned that thought of marking people. You know, a lot of the day people take so highly to these entertainers. Especially we get ready to go into election season here, and who knows what that's going to be like. But every election, we start having this Hollywood crowd talking about their politics and how they look at this. I could care less what that guy thinks. He's an actor. He's nothing real to me. He doesn't have a superior brain. He's not some expert. But everybody wants to listen because he's a movie star. See, we promote these people. We lift them up instead of lifting up godly things. And God says, as snow in the summer and as rain in harvest, that is what it would be like to honor a fool. You shouldn't honor a fool. God deserves all the honor, not a fool. So we see in verse number 1 what God says about a fool. It's out of order to honor a fool. We shouldn't do that. Verse number 2. Again, this is the only verse in these first 12 verses that doesn't say anything about the word fool itself, but I believe it shows forth a fool. The Bible says in verse number 2, as the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, if you don't knock doors, you probably don't get a lot of persecution. And even now, we knock doors, and I very rarely do somebody. Every once in a while, we'll run into somebody. But most of the time, everybody's pretty pleasant. But, you know, I chuckled before. I've had people get mad at me and say, why don't you go to hell? And I just grin and tell them I can't. You know, that's my meanness, you know. But, you know, people curse us. They'll curse at you. But those cursings can never happen. And that's what, you know, a fool would think that they could pluck me out of God's hands, basically. That's what a fool would think. And people would say, you know, they try to curse us and tear down. They can't tear down God. They can't tear down the things of God. They can tear me down all they want, but they're not going to tear God down. And that's what he's saying about these curses. They'll never come to pass. And a fool would think that they could. Isn't it amazing? You know, I just, mine comes through this thing. I watched the movie. Anybody ever seen that movie, Armageddon? I'm not going to fuss out. I said I watched it myself, so don't sit here. It's a crazy movie. You'd be amazed how much stuff in Hollywood comes out of the Bible. They'll take a little thought out of the Bible and run with it. But Armageddon, they talk about this, you know, there's this big meteorite going to come and America's going to jump on the boat and we're going to destroy this thing. We're going to stop God. Well, let me say, friend, there is a big asteroid coming one of these days. His name's Wormwood. And America ain't going to stop it either. He'd be a fool to think he could stand God off. He'd be a fool to think that he could turn God. So again, a fool. Don't be a fool. A fool says there's no God. So in verse 1, we see a fool should not be honored. Verse 2, we see the cursings there of a fool. And then verse number 3, the Bible says this. As a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. The very first part, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass. Here we see that these beasts, this horse, this ass, cannot be controlled in itself. It takes that whip to control that. It takes that bridle to direct and control that. That animal, as big and as beastly as it can be, it cannot be controlled in its own self. And then God says, neither can a fool. That rod to the fool's back there, it says a rod, a man that denies God will never obey. He'll never submit. You can't make it. And that's what, you know, this crazy theology of our world thinks, that they're going to take a man and change it. The only person that can change a man is who? God. But a fool says that we can run him through this mill and we can run him through this mill and we can clean him up and paint him up and dress him right and he'll be right. No, he's still rotten to the core on the inside. But a fool, yeah, get him educated. But that's what a fool thinks. And you're a fool if you think that works too. Only God can change something. Only, that's the reason I love the Rock of Ages. Because they go in there with the right attitude, what it's going to take to take a criminal and change him. It takes God. And here God says once again, he says there that a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. It's going to take correcting. He'll never correct himself. So that's the fool. And then verse 4 and 5, they're interesting verses. People say verses 4 and 5 are contradictive. A lot of times people will say even these verses show that the Bible is not true because they are opposites. But they miss the whole point of it. Look at it, verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. But then he says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Well, preacher, that sounds like it's backwards, but no. Actually, these two verses, I believe, probably two of the greatest verses that's showing the liberties that God has given us. In these two verses, as God shows us, there's two ways to respond to a fool. The first way is to open your mouth up and say something to them. When they say something foolish, tell them, you're a fool. Preacher, I'd never do that. Well, you might not call them a fool, but you can tell them they're not right. How do you know? Well, remember Job. Remember Job's wife? Job's wife, and I'm not fussing, you know, tearing down Job's wife. Job's wife went through just as much as Job did. She lost everything. She saw her husband go down to nothing. Remember there when Job's wife looked at Job and said, curse God and die. That's a foolish statement. So what did Job say? He turned it right around and says, how can I curse God? Look at all that God's done for me. So you can... When a fool speaks and he says these foolish things, one of your choices is to say, hey, that's not right. My God doesn't do that. Look what my God does. And then the other side of that is when a fool speaks, sometimes it's better to say nothing. I'm going to give him my 2 cents. Well, it's probably better to keep your 2 cents. Because a lot of times you'll just throw fire or gas on the fire. So God here gives us some liberty on how to respond to that fool. We can open our mouths up and say something, or we can keep our mouths closed and not say. And again, you got to be careful because people are listening. It's the reason I don't argue with people, or try not to. Sometimes I can't avoid it, but I've knocked on doors and people want to argue, want to fight, and I just try to politely say, have a good day. Why? Because I don't want them to see me controversial. Well, preacher, don't you believe what? Well, yeah, I believe in what I'm saying. But it does no good. If you're standing here talking to this guy and he's fussing and fighting, what about that guy over around the corner that's watching you? He's not seeing much when you're over there fighting with that guy. So he tells us here, there's two ways, and there's a good example over, we won't take time because of time, but 2 Kings chapter 18, there's a guy named by the name of Rechabeth, if I'm saying it right. He's sent by the army or the enemy to come to Hezekiah. And he comes to the wall there and he begins to tell him how, don't listen to him, don't listen to God, we're going to destroy you, you're not going to win. And in the latter part of that, you know what it says? They didn't say a word. They let him say his foolish things. They didn't say a word. And then Hezekiah talks to God and God delivers them. So again, you gotta pray, keep your mind on sight, but again, there's foolish things gonna come up in your life, and people are gonna say foolish things, so how do you respond? Sometimes you can say as Job did, sometimes you can be like the nation of Israel and don't say a word, and that's what these two verses have to do, they intertwine themselves, that God gives us that liberty of how to deal with this fool. I think the best way is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 7. That whole chapter there of Ecclesiastes talks about a time. And this is what it says, a time to rend, in verse number 7, it says a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's plenty of times I've said something, I think afterwards, boy, I wish I'd just kept my mouth shut. But then there's times I thought, boy, I wish I'd have said something. So it's a growing thing, but how do you deal with a fool? And that's what God's trying to get us to see. Verse number 6 this evening. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool, and this is awful, cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Now you got to think about what he's saying there and what the process is. Notice what the job at hand is. He that sendeth a message by a fool. Why would you entrust something as important as a message? What if you had a message that you wanted to send forth, maybe in the military or something, to get that word to the other troops? You wouldn't send that by a fool. You want to send that by somebody you could trust. Somebody you know would get there and do the work. You wouldn't want to trust a fool. And God says when you trust a fool, it's like cutting off your own feet. It's like drinking damage. It's going to hurt you. It's going to bite you. Oh, preacher, but we got to give everybody a chance. You better not give a fool a chance. If they deny God, if that's their heart, why would you entrust something important unto them? And God says, don't do that. He says here again, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Pretty serious, isn't it? Verse number 7. The legs of the lame are not equal. That's true. Right? Lame, most of the time their legs are not equal. One might have strength, the other might not. So the legs of the lame are not equal. So what's that got to do with anything? So is a parable in the mouth of fools. You ever heard somebody, I know a lot of people, they can talk for an hour and say nothing. You ever been around somebody like that? They're good at talking, man. I've watched some of the debates and I'm thinking, I don't think they said anything the whole time they were talking. They just made a lot of noise. But God says this person, this fool here, look at it. He says that so is a parable in the mouth of fools. It'll come out, make no sense. It'll have no value. It'll have no purpose. So again, why would you listen to a fool? You got to be careful who you tune your ears in. There's a lot of great speakers. They can lure you in just by their own speaking, their eloquency, their drawness. But if they're not telling you truth, you need to tune that thing out. You don't need to listen to that. It'll be damaging unto you. All right, verse number 8. I like verse number 8. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Again, you shouldn't honor a fool. But do you notice the illustration or the example he gives? Notice again what it says. He that bindeth a stone in a sling. Now, how does a sling work? Put a rock in it, you start spinning it around, and you let her go. That rock needs to be movable. But when you bind that rock in that sling, and you start slinging that thing around, you know what it's going to do? It's going to hit you right in the head. A sling, a rock shouldn't be bound in a sling. A rock should be put in a sling to be able to fly. Not bound up. And God says here in verse number 8, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, or as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. God says, if you give honor to a fool, it's going to come back and hit you in the head. It's going to bind you. It's going to knock you right back. It's crazy to give honor to a fool. So again, God speaks of what the fool is. Verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9 and 10 go together. As a thorn goeth up in the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. The fool, the one that says there is no God, God will repay. God will give forth. The fool will get his due. He's not going to get out of this thing. So again, the fool. And then verse number 11 this evening. And what an illustration here. Look at verse number 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit. You ever seen that? Isn't that nasty? You ever seen an old dog? I'm going to make some of you mad because you love Fifi. Just get mad. It'll be all right. We'll go on down the road. But a dog will throw up and eat its own vomit, and then it's going to come lick you in the face. I ain't letting no dog lick me in the face. That's nasty, ain't it? That dog will throw up and then turn around and eat it right back. That's nasty. And God uses this for an example. Look at it. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. A fool, you can take the alcohol from the fool and he'll run right back to the alcohol. You can take the drugs from the fool and he'll run back to the drugs. You can take this from the fool and he'll, but God can change a man. Made me think, Brother George celebrating 10 years birthday tomorrow, of his salvation. God drew him away. What took him away from that bottle? It wasn't nothing but God. That's what God will do. But a fool will run right back into the vomit, man. They're so stupid, they'll run right back in there and lump it right back in their mouth. That's what God says about a fool. So these 11 verses, God speaks pretty bad about a fool, doesn't he? But I'm going to show you something in verse number 13 that I hope will remind us something, or verse number 12, that God shows us something that's worse than a fool. Preacher, there can't be anything worse than a fool. Well, let's see what verse 12 says. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now you might not be a fool. You might say, I believe God. But God says a man that's eat up of himself. A man of pride. Remember Brother Craig preached on pride? That pride will destroy you. Destroy people around you. And all these things that God says about a fool, as bad as it might sound, as a dog sucking up his own vomit. It's hard to get much worse than that, I would think. But God says a man that's full of himself, has that conceit of his own self, that self-righteousness, that pride, look at me, God says is worse than a fool. Don't be a fool. But more than that, don't be prideful. God says that pride is worse than a fool. So we see one of the six things that God's going to show us about man here in this chapter, a fool. I know some fools. You know any fools? I do. Probably work with some. Might go to school with some. Turn TV on tonight, you'll see some. What is a fool? It's a man that says in his heart there is no God. You know, when a man says that, though, he's really saying he's God. It's really, if you think about it, that's what he's saying. And God says that's a fool. And what terrible things God says about a fool. Don't be a fool. Aren't you glad God showed you one day you were lost? And God took you and saved you, put your feet upon a rock, give you some sense, amen? I don't want to be a fool. Don't want to hang around fools. Don't want to give them honor. Give God the honor. So again, the fool. Let's stand together this evening.